Everybody. Well, we're in Acts chapter 8 today, verse 26, beginning right about there with this wonderful passage. Speaking of that day that the Lord came into a man's life. He had been a ritualistic worshiper. That's all he knew. It wasn't that his heart was bent that way. It was that that was all he knew. And he was seeking for the Lord to change him. And we're going to see that very story here in verse 26. Shall we pray? Lord, please help us. Help us and bless us today, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, speak to our hearts, open our hearts to the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So this man that's going to preach, that God is going to call to preach, is none other than Philip. And Philip has been greatly used. He started out as a deacon, waiting on tables, just doing the things that just needed to be done. He didn't have any great specific calling, but he looked around and knew there was things that needed to be done. And so he said, yeah, me, I'll do it. And it started out with little things. And as he was very, very good at what he did and faithful in what he did, the Lord used him greater and greater tasks. And now he's speaking to this man. And it says, verse 26, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Did you know that the Lord will speak to you? Are you aware of that? Now, guys, listen, those of you that are regulars here, you've heard all my stories. I don't have anything new as far as what has happened, the experience. I'm going to talk about them again. Instead of just saying, oh, no, here he goes. Okay, don't do that. Pray for those that need to hear it today, because not everybody is you, okay? And there are things that God has done that people need to hear in context. And so you be praying for souls, okay? Well, listen, and now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road. So there were specifics here. He didn't tell him what he was going to do with them, but he told him where. Go along south on the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. Now notice, first of all, one word that pops out here, because we hear it every single day on the news. What's that one word? Gaza. And so we see it here in the Bible. What people are not there in Gaza? What? There's no Muslims there, because the Muslim religion has not been invented until 1,400 years later. Okay? Who are there? The Jews. Do you understand this? You've got to understand this. This is one of the big lies that's going on, that the Palestinians have to have their homeland and all this stuff. Guys, they don't have a homeland. Their name Palestinians is even a big lie. Do you know who, up until Israel became a nation, you know who the Palestinians were? They were the Jews. And there's evidence everywhere. Every document that talks about the Jews in the land were called Palestinians. And it was created by one of the emperors that had overtaken the area, that whole vicinity in history. And because he hated the Jews, he says, let's call them after their main enemy in life, the Philistines. Let's make up a name that takes Philistine into it and really insult them. And so they called them the Palestinians. And that's where that name comes. It was a derision to be called that. And so we have all of this false information that people get. And I really suggest that you really get some good news. Get the right news. Get the true news in what you're listening to. Look on our app, and we've given you trustworthy news outlets that will not go into this lie that is happening. That is Israel's land. And even before this time, it goes all the way back to Abraham and how God gave them that whole area, including Gaza. And so as people are trying to, politicians saying, oh, we've got a solution. Let's just give the Palestinians their own land. Number one, they already did that. It's called Gaza. It was given to them by Israel, agreed to. And what did they do? They turned it into a terrorist land. They educated their little children to hate Jews, to call them pigs. In their elementary schools, they were taught to hate Jews in the most graphic way and to kill Jews. And that's an honorable thing, that you'll go to their heaven if you just murder some Jews. And so it was just an absolute travesty to give that over. Second of all, God says, you are never to divide my land. That is God's land. And God says, you'll never divide it, Israel. And so the prime minister who agreed to the Palestinians taking this is going to be in trouble with God one day because he gave that away. So now it's going to go back into Israel's hands, I believe. We'll see what happens. But all of this stuff that we're hearing about Israel, it is such a lie, and it's very frustrating that people don't get the right information. Let's go back to our text, or I'll go the whole hour with this. Arise and go down to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so that's stated there. It's not like a pleasurable place. It's a hot place, right? And so he's calling him to go. Hey, leave this place. It's rather pleasant. They're really popular there. Everybody's coming to the Lord. There's a great evangelism going on there. And he's saying, now I want you to go over to this dry, hot, not very populated desert. Go to Gaza. And so he arose and he went. And I imagine that, you know, if it was me, I'd probably say, but Lord, I'm being so used here, you know. This wonderful work that you're doing here, you know, why are you asking me to go to the desert? There's nothing down here. It's interesting how God calls us to go to places that are perhaps unpleasant in its circumstances, and yet God wants us to always represent him and to obey him. We don't know what he's going to do. Amen. The Christian life is just a blast. I'm going to tell you, from 40-odd years of walking with the Lord, it's like I've never surfed, but what I imagine if I did surf, it would be like the Christian life, man. You're just going, man, you're catching the waves. You're catching all this stuff. It is a beautiful ride because the Lord never tells you everything at once. He doesn't say, Philip, you go over there. You're going to run alongside this guy's chariot. He's going to be reading the book of Isaiah, and you're going to go in there and say, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And he asks you in, and then you're going to tell him all about it, and then he's going to ask to be saved, then he's going to ask to be baptized, and then I'm going to transport you and rapture you out of that place and put you some other place, supernaturally, of course. God didn't tell him that. He just said, go. He said, go, arise, and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And he arose and he went. I love that. There's no hint that he questioned the Lord about it, or that he, paused or whatever, or argued with the Lord. He just arose and he went. And if you're struggling with finding out God's will in your life, I'm going to tell you that God's will is that you are to obey. It may come across, remember that the prophet that was listening, trying to listen for God, and it wasn't in the lightning, it wasn't in all these grandiose things. In other words, God's voice is going to be, But it was a silent whisper, just a whisper, that he heard the Lord. And I believe that God is speaking to every born-again believer here. He's speaking to you. And may I say, everyone that is going to be a Christian, Maybe you're here yet an unbeliever, but God knows you. God has called you to be his. He has spoken in your life that you just didn't realize where it was. He has directed your life, and guess what? You're actually here right now. And you're hearing what? The Bible. You're hearing the word. And I'm going to tell you the gospel. And he's got you here so that you, if you're not yet a believer, might become a believer in him. Because he loves you. He just loves you to death. Matter of fact, that's exactly what it took. He sent his son to go to death for you. He died on the cross for you. He took all of your sins upon him. And he received the wounds. His blood was poured out because of you and because of me. And he bought us. And he wants to bless us, guys. He's for us, not against us. And so you're called, I believe, every one of you to be here today. God is bringing you here for that reason. And so he doesn't give the full story, and that's why things are exciting, you know. There was once a scientific experiment which was performed in which caterpillars were placed on the rim of a large pot. The pot inside down below contained dirt and all the nutrient plants that they like to eat, but they were placed up on the rim of the pot. And the caterpillars began to slowly move along the rim of the pot, each one following the one before it. And every caterpillar, thinking the one ahead, you know, of him knew where he was going, you know, so that it is followed. And around and around and around they go until they died of malnutrition. And, you know, maybe some of us here, even as believers, you feel like you're drying up. You feel lost. You feel like you're getting dizzy, whatever it may be. Maybe it's because the Lord spoke to you and you didn't obey. You didn't arise and go. And God has spoken to you. And he's not going to say, you're not going to hear his voice again until you obey him and what he's already told you. And I believe that that's true. And I've seen it in my own experience walking with the Lord to get that thing right. God doesn't say, okay, well, never mind that. Now let's go to something new. No, he says, come on back and do what I tell you to do. Come on, I'm going to bless you. Have faith in me. And so even though maybe you don't know the end of the story, just as Philip didn't know the end of the story, maybe God is calling you to arise and go. And notice verse 27, the second part, it says, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, he was a black man, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. He was a man of great stature. He was in charge of her treasury, of whoever the queen was at that time, and had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Oh, isn't that, what a coinkydink, right? Here comes God is calling him to go see this guy and sit by him. And just when he's just reading the Bible, what a coincidence. I'm telling you, God is working in people's lives. The Father is working in this world. And he's calling us to come alongside him. It's kind of like, you know, getting your grandkids or dads, you know what I'm talking about, your little boys or girls to come alongside and help daddy out, you know? And, you know, things could go a lot quicker if daddy just took care of it himself. But it's the fun part is the fellowship and how they grow and they learn from those experiences. They may not be real good at everything they do, but they'll grow and get better, right? And they'll be more like their daddy. And that fellowship is wonderful. And God is doing work in this world, and he's calling us as his children to come alongside. You participate, you see. And we ask the Lord, Lord, what are you doing around me today? Lord, I want to be part of it. Lord, open up the doors, and I'm going to keep my eyes open and watch for those doors to open up, that you've caused me to be at this place at such a time as this. Old Esther, right? At such a time as this, God is going to use me. And God is going to be, I'm going to be a part of this story in that person's life. And so here he is. He says he had charge over her treasury. Verse 28, was returning. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, what kind of worship would that be in Jerusalem at the time? You go to the temple. You offer sacrifices, right? It was very, very legalistic. You would offer the sacrifice to cover over your sins temporarily. It was the legalistic righteousness of observing the law, the do's and the don'ts, the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that Judaism had made up that weren't of God, these crazy ones. But it was part of being a Jew. And so there was light in being a Jew that was there, but it was light that was coming from their Messiah, whom they had rejected. And so as he's sitting in the chariot, he was reading the book of Isaiah. I want to tell you about a man who, through this the ministry of this church, we were at our old location, way old, the one that was over in Curtis Park. And he called into the church line and he said, listen, I'm homeless. I don't want any money. I don't want anything from you. But I would like to meet with you and ask you some questions about the Bible. And I'm like, hey, I'm there. You know, and I bought him a lunch and we sat there for a couple hours talking about the Bible. And he told me his life story. He told me that he was from New York. He was in rabbinical school to become, he was just about ready to graduate and become a rabbi in the Orthodox Judaism. And that his wife, he had a wife and two beautiful daughters that were teenagers. And they, one day, unbeknown to him, were asked to go to a Billy Graham crusade in New York. Guess what? They heard the word and they believed and they were born again and they believed in their Messiah, Jesus. They were born again. And so the following week, they're in back in the synagogue and things are going on. He's about to be graduate and become a rabbi himself. He had a job that they always require a rabbi to have a day job as well that you can kind of back up your ministry. Just as Paul was a tent maker, this guy had a job. I forget what it was. But the wife stood up in the middle of the congregation and said, my daughters and I, have believed in the Messiah. He is Jesus the Christ. He is Yeshua. And he is the one whom we live, that we are saved by, and we have received him. It was like somebody had taken one of these big grenades and thrown it in the room. Everybody exploded. They demanded that she be put out of the congregation, which she was. But they demanded from her husband, this man that I was talking to, that he must divorce her. And he is in love with his beautiful wife and his two daughters, in love with them. He can't, they wanted him to not have anything to do with his daughters, to walk away from the whole thing and become a rabbi. He couldn't do it. And so he lost his rabbi thing and went back to his tent making job that he had. And he told his wife and his daughters, he says, listen, I will continue to live here with you, but you're never to speak the name of Jesus in this house. Never. And so they went on for a couple months. Went on. He was working and they're kind of struggling but getting through things. But he was out of the synagogue. He was out of Judaism. And he was just struggling to know what is going on. What's God doing? One day, while his wife and his daughters were gone, there was a knock at the door, and it was highway patrol. And they came and asked him if he was who he was, and he said, and they said, "Sir, we're so, so sorry to tell you that your two daughters and your wife were in an accident, and they didn't make it. They died." He went absolutely berserk. The grief of thinking that, you know, I'm right with God, I know God, I'm serving God. You know, he felt comfortable with the ritualistic worship and all that stuff. To be kicked out of that and then to have his love tested and then to do the right thing, and he stayed there in that position. But look, he just, he loses the very ones that he had sacrificed his life for. He went homeless. He walked away from his business, walked away from his home, left everything to just go to, you know, go wherever it's going to go. He didn't tell anybody where he was going, and he left. And he had been homeless for 3 years when I met him. He was down, it brought him down in the LA region. And as he was going through that, some people were out witnessing to the homeless there. And one came up to him, and he started talking. He told him about his former Judaism. And somebody, it was a Calvary Chapel pastor, told him about, and he gave him a book. And it was this book that I actually have in my library, but it's every prophecy of the Old Testament and how it was fulfilled in the New Testament. That's it. There's no other words other than just scriptures and how it is fulfilled, over 300 specific scriptures regarding the coming Messiah, that it would be Jesus. And he's saying, "Man, I need to talk to you because I'm this guy gave that to me, and it's really brought up a lot of questions." And really what it was, it ended up being, is that God was calling him to himself, and he needed to make a commitment. And so he comes and talks to me. We ended up hitting it off. I said, "Hey, we've got a Bible study Wednesday night. Bible study. Why don't you come with me to my house? We'll feed you and all that." So he came, and he was in the Bible study. And God put it on my heart to get out of our study. I don't know what book we were in, but I went to Psalm 22, which is a messianic psalm. And God put him that on my heart. You know, he received the Lord that night. And he said, "You know what? It's a miracle. Because I was studying and reading that scripture today and wondering what in the heck that means." And it was the very scripture that we went through that spoke, of course, of Jesus. Let me read that to you. You're going to have to skip, Brad, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" Understand, 1,500 years before Jesus was born, this was written. Okay? 1,500 years. "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. In the night season, I am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And our fathers trusted in you, and they trusted, and you delivered them. And they cried to you and were delivered. And they trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me, and they shoot out the lip, and they shake their head, saying, 'Well, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.' But you are he who took me out of the womb, and you made me trust while my mother's on my mother's breasts, and I was cast upon you from birth, and from your mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me, and they gape at me with their mouths like raging and a roaring lion. And I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It has melted within me, and my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue is clinging to my jaws. and you have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me, and the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me, and they divide my garments among them. For my clothing, they cast lots. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. He says, I need the Lord. I receive him. I give my life to him. And it was a wonderful thing to see this Jewish man come to a saving faith and to know it was an absolute miracle of God, just as we all are, every one of us. And so what a beautiful thing. Here we go back to the story. This Ethiopian man is sitting there in his chariot at just the right time. And he's opening up a specific prophecy of the Messiah in the book of Isaiah. And he's not finding answers in the law. He had just been worshiping there, or the ritualism. Just as I was in the same thing with the Catholic Church back in the day. I go with my parents, and all it was know when to bow down, know when to stand up, know when to say, peace be with you. Know when to, you know, you say these phrases. And then back then, it was all in Latin, because I'm old. It was in Latin. I didn't even know what he's saying. And even if I knew the English later on, I heard the English, I didn't know what they were talking about even then. They didn't get into the word. They didn't express and educate the people in the word of God. And quite honestly, it's so that because you would see through the rituals. You would see through the phoniness. You would see the errors in what they were doing in man's traditions that were being observed rather than God's word. And so he's wondering, and he's being drawn out of ritual to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what God declares. In Acts 8:29, it says, then the Spirit said to Philip, Then he already went to the place that God told him to be, but God didn't tell him any more than that. Then we see this scene set up, and this man is being drawn to the word of God, and he's sitting in a chariot at the very time that Philip is there. And God says, listen, now go near that chariot and overtake the chariot. Run alongside of it and overtake him, and he'll stop. You know, I'm going to tell you something, guys. Those of us that worry about our friends and our loved ones that we want to see come to the Lord, and we just wonder, and we're trying, you know, we witness, and then they don't come to church, or they witness, and we invite, and they don't come. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Don't give up. Don't give up, because I am convinced the Lord will do whatever it takes to save someone. Or to someone who would believe. No one on the day of judgment before the Almighty God is going to come up and say, I really wanted to know you, but you didn't give me a chance. I couldn't figure out how. That is never going to happen. God will give light. God will move things miraculously to bring us to him. Years ago, I was a pretty young Christian at the time. And I was on my knees praying one day, honestly. That's what I was doing. I was seeking the Lord, really trying to grow in the word. And God told me, will you please don't take it that way? I'm not telling you like, oh, I hear God all the time. I don't. I now hardly ever do. In a voice. But God used a voice, and it wasn't something anybody could have heard. It was inside of me, but it was very specific. I want you to go and find Ray Torres and tell him about me. Now, you don't understand. We were enemies. He had, back in the old days, in the old life and everything as a musician, he had kind of tried to take the gig away from me, and we were, you know, we were playing all the nightclubs and all that kind of stuff, and he was in a different band, and he tried to, you know, smooch me a little bit and get the details so that they could steal the gig. Okay? So that's fighting words, buddy. You can go to hell. That was my flesh, right? And God says, I want you to go there because I want to save him. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Am I hearing you, Lord? He says, go now. I mean, right now? You know, it was in my thought. He said, go now. Get in your car. I didn't know where he lived. I remember the general vicinity of, you know, the south area where he was located. And I got in the car and I turned left down down Fruit Ridge, because I was living in my house that I live in now, and went down and kept going down to, I remember it was somewhere around Stockton Boulevard, right there in that bad area. And I go past Stockton Boulevard, and I see this, the first street comes up, and I'm ready to go past it. He says, turn here. As clear as day. And I turn, and as I'm turning, this guy, I don't know who he is, he's walking this way all in sweat clothes and everything, and I turn, I'm going down here, and did I get out of the camera? Woo! And the Lord said, turn around, that's him. I turned the car around, and I'm still not, he was a big fat guy, okay, and he goes like I was at the time. And so we go down there, and here's this guy who's lost all this weight. And I look at him. I had to get right up to him. And I said, Ray? It was him. He said, Mike, what are you doing here? Now, understand this. It's like this situation. What I got there just at the right time to see him walking. I never would have seen him at all. But God did what he did here in this short passage. He did that there. And he will do that with you. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I came to talk to you. He says, let me get in the car. I'll take you to my house. I didn't know where his house was. And so he took me down the street, and a couple turns later, and here we are. Oh, yeah, I remember this house. And we get in there. We get into his living room, and I said, dude, you're going to think I'm crazy. But God has changed my life. Jesus is in my life, and he's just changed me, Ray. And God told me to come to speak to you about him. He said, Mike, just like they cut me off. I'm thinking, oh, no, maybe I got it all wrong. He said, no, wait, let me tell you something, and then I want you to tell me whatever it is you have to tell me. He said, last month, my sister-in-law was in that room there, his bedroom he's pointing to. And she took my shotgun that was in the room, and she blew her head off. Before that, 6 months ago, I had terrible strokes, and I lost all my ability to play, be the baddest drummer in town and all this stuff. He lost all of it. He had to start all over again. He's in great depression, and he says, my parents told me it was Jesus that I needed to believe in. And I've been calling out for him to show me what to do. Now, Mike, tell me. And so he came to know the Lord. He was part of this church. He died some time ago and is in heaven. Guys, God does this. If you're looking at me and saying, wow, he's really spiritual, he heard God. I'm not. I'm probably more fleshly than any of you guys. He will speak to you. But you have to have faith, and you have to step out and go and arise and go. Oh, I'll tell you what. So Philip ran to him. Notice, I love that. He ran to him. He didn't just come, well, okay, well, I think, kind of, well, is he? I don't know. Let me go. He ran. We need to be like Philip. You know what the word enthusiasm means? Enthusiastic and all that stuff. Remember my big fat Greek wedding movie? I love that movie. Remember how he'd always explain everything? Well, that goes back to the Greek word of this and that and this and that. He'd tell everybody very proudly, you know. Well, the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek words en and theos, which means full of God. And that's what this enthusiasm is. An enthusiastic person is a person who is full of God. And we should all be enthusiastic. And Philip was enthusiastic. Look at verse 30. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand? You see, the door has been opened by God. You see, Lord, show me what you're doing. Let me be part of it. Open up doors, Lord. Hello. He's reading Isaiah. Now, what are you to do once the door is open? Walk in the door. And that's what Philip is doing. Do you understand what you're reading? Perfect opportunity to witness. And he asked and he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Another door opening up. Tell me, in other words. As you walk in one door, guys, it gets easier and easier because God will keep opening them up. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up. Third door opens up. It just keeps getting better. Come up and sit next to me in his vehicle there. And sit with me. And the place in Scripture where he was reading was this. Here it goes. Here's Isaiah. And he was led. This again is approximately 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. This is what this guy was reading. And as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom? Big door. Of whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or some other man? Big door. But why is all those doors open? Because God's been working in his life. We don't know how long. Maybe since early days of his childhood, as he had done in my life. I remember the encounters. I can look back at God speaking to my heart and drawing me to himself, sensing that need in my heart, the desperation of being empty. He's working. And so here he's sovereignly drawn by the Spirit to this very point where he's going to commit. And the eunuch was searching and wondering. Oh, I love that. I already read that scripture, so I'm out of. Skip down, Brad. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning at this scripture, he preached, notice, Jesus to him. He didn't preach Judaism. He didn't preach a righteous, well, you know, you start being good now and, you know, you start pleasing God with your life. Then maybe, you know, maybe if you're good enough, you'll go to heaven one day because you believed in Jesus. No. He said, come as you are. Come just as you are because I came to save sinners, not the righteous. Sinners. So welcome. Come just as you are. He preached Jesus to him. What a wonderful thing. He didn't preach denominationalism to him. He didn't teach any of those things. Just have Jesus. Have faith in him, in what he has done for you. Turn away from the old life and turn towards Jesus and have new life. For those who received him, he gave the right to be called children of God. Believe, repent, believe, and receive. Can you say that? Repent, believe, and receive. Come on. That's right. That's the gospel. Repent, believe, and receive. Look at verse 36 now as he went down the road. This guy's born again. He's believed. They came to some water, some little stream or something like that, and the eunuch said, hey, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He suggested it. He wanted to be baptized. And Philip said, hey, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That's the only requirement to be baptized, is if you believe with all your heart that Jesus did that work for you. And you have said, thank you, Jesus, come in and be in my heart, in my life. You are born again by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit will has entered into you. And God says, you let me take care of the future now. You let me have the wheel of your life, and I'll bless you. I have a plan for you. Walk in my plan. Well, he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is who he said he is. I believe it. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized them. Oh, man. Verse 39, now when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So he baptized him and then all of a sudden, he's gone. He was caught up. Notice, caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Hallelujah! God did more than one miracle. He saved me, but he's also taken my preacher away somewhere where he wanted him to be. You know that word for caught there is harpazo? It's the same word where it says that God will one day rapture us to take us away. In the twinkling of an eye, we will be caught up when the Lord takes us to be with him. That's the same word, harpazo. And so it was like a rapture. It was a rapture, but it was not a rapture up into heaven. It was a rapture to another place. Where? Verse 40 tells you where he landed. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, what a pretty special dude, right, Philip? Pretty special? Actually, no. He was a deacon. He went and served the widows and the orphans food and, you know, made sure everybody got and cleaned up after them and set the table and did all that kind of stuff. That's how he began in the church. In Samaria, he became an evangelist. God, as he was faithful in the little things, brought greater things for him to be part of. And he was an evangelist, and many came to the Lord. And in Gaza, he was removed from the public arena to minister to one single Ethiopian eunuch. And aren't you glad? Because we got the story, don't we? We got the scoop. And to save this guy and then taken away. You know, can you imagine this guy was a eunuch in this Candace is not the name of the queen. It's the whole, what would you call it? The name of that realm of queens. They were called the Candaces. But could you imagine how the word spread through him as he tells his story? And as he tells about his faith in the Lord, and all down in Ethiopia, it's one of the strongest areas of Judaism down there, and also Christianity. Matter of fact, they claim to have possession of the Ark in their church. I wouldn't believe it. But anyway, that's one of the little side frames. But listen, guys, as he was thrilled to serve tables, his ministry flowed beyond that, preaching to multitudes. And enthusiastically just running to the side and along the, you know, as this chariot's going, hey, man, what are you reading? You know, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, you want to know about that? I know who that is. And it was set to the perfect scripture, and it was just the way it is. Guys, listen, in everything there's a time and a purpose. And there are people that need the Lord today. They're lonely. They're confused about life. They're frightened about the reality of life. They're looking for some way that that void, that hole inside their hearts can be filled up. And what they all really ultimately want is love, a love relationship that meets every need in their life. And that's what God wants to give us through Jesus Christ. Maybe it's your day today. Trust the Lord. Guys, all you guys that are Christians, trust the Lord. Go with the flow of what God's showing you. Believe God. You always test everything by the word of God. He'll never tell you to do something that's not in the word. So that's, you need to be people of the word, right? You need to study. You need to read every day the word of God so that when God speaks to you, boom, you'll go. God will speak to you through his word mostly. Just as you're reading, honestly, sometimes it seems like a certain sentence or a scripture just gets big and bold sometimes, and it's God speaking to me. And he's telling me just as if he had done with his voice in my heart that day and many other times. He's telling me to, Mike, follow me. And because he doesn't tell me everything about it and what he's going to do at the end and how it's all going to work out, I might just chicken out or just think, that's probably just me thinking that. Don't do that. Believe the Lord that he's speaking to you. Walk with him one step at a time, and he'll lead you into paths that you could never, ever imagine. And you can just ask Philip one day when we go to be with him. Up with the Lord, with him. Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you and praise you and give you glory today, Lord. We thank you for all that you're showing us. You want to use us. You want us to be a people that are evangelists. The people that are spreading the word, sharing the word. And you do the work, Lord. You're the one that draws them. You're the one that prepares the opportunities. And then you just have us be part of it because you love us and because we're your kids. And you want us to be part of this. And as we share the precious gospel with people, you will be the one that saves them. And you will be the one that cleans them. It's not up to us. It's for us to share the gospel so that people can hear and so that people can believe. And so that people can be saved. Lord, please help us now, Lord, to listen to you, to seek you out in prayer, to seek you out in your word, and to believe when you say something to us. We give you that praise in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, keep them going. Is there anyone here that God's calling you today? You're not here by accident. Maybe you think, well, I had to be here. Somebody made me come, and oh, if I don't do this, I won't get the other thing. Or maybe my wife, you know, she put pressure on me to go. It's always bugging me, so I'm trying to get her off my back, and I came to church. No. You're here because God drew you. You are here because God knows you're here, and he drew you here to hear what we've been talking about so that you can be saved, so you can go to be with the Lord one day. So that you can live forever, so your sins would be forgiven and washed and clean, so you could have a new life. Is that you today? Just as this man said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I receive him. It's your opportunity. And eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Listen, are you the one? Are you the 2, 3, 5, 10? Would you please raise your hand today and tell me, yes, I believe in Jesus right now. I want to commit my life. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else that would raise their hand and say, I believe in Jesus today. It's my day to trust him, to repent and to turn away from sin and to receive him. Anyone else? Well, Father God, I thank you for this one soul, Lord. We thank you so much for her. We ask that, Lord Jesus, you would come into her life according to your word and what you say. And Lord, help her to understand the word like never before. Help her to just walk with you, to be empowered by your spirit, Lord. And we pray, God, you'd lead her in paths of righteousness. We pray and give you praise that you have another child today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. I hope that you'll come up and talk to me afterwards if you raised your hand. Hey, let's take our communion together. If you have believed in Jesus and given your life to him and repented and believed, that's all it is. It's not that you're super spiritual, but you are a child of God because you believed in him, then you can take communion. If you're not, if you've resisted committing your life to God, don't take this, because there's actually a warning. If you take communion in an unworthy manner, you could get sick. You could even die. That's heavy, isn't it? But you know who's saying that? The same one who transported Philip. The same one who arranged this meeting with the eunuch. The same one who has brought you here today. If you've said yes to Jesus, let's take communion together. Amen? Lord, we thank you. We thank you as you told us, Lord, on that day that you were betrayed, on that evening at the supper, you took the bread and you broke it and you distributed it among your disciples. And you said, this is my body, and I want you to eat of my body. I want you to consume my body. I want to be in you. This bread represents my body, and it is my body. That's what he was saying. It is my body. Not in some cannibalistic physical way, but in a very spiritual and very real way. This is my body. Given up for you. Jesus gave himself up for you to die for your sins, not his own. He had none, but he did it for you. He says, do this, eat this in remembrance. Remember me. Because Jesus hasn't had communion in all these years since he's died. He's waiting for all of us to be with him, and he will take communion with us one day. Lord, we thank you, and we remember you until you come to get us, Lord. In Jesus' name, take. That bread even tasted good this time. Lord, we thank you for your body, for your blood. And you said, as he took this cup and he said, drink of it. This is the new covenant. A new agreement between man and a holy God and a sinful man, that the blood of my son would wash their sins away, that my son came and became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God, a holy transfer between sin and righteousness. We got all his righteousness because we believed upon him. And he's given us a new life that's based upon what he has done for us. And we worship him now in spirit and in truth, not by legalistic righteousness. We allow him to work in our lives, don't we? Because the Holy Spirit's in us today. Lord, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for this payment that is the payment that can never be overemphasized. It is absolute, full, atoning payment that has been made by your blood. I never have to feel guilty. I never have to, you know, be in condemnation, because there is none, because it's all my sin has been washed away because of your blood. Thank you, Lord. Let's take together. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Isn't it great? It's wonderful to know Jesus, isn't it? And he wants to speak to you, and he is speaking to you. Hear what he's saying. Arise and go. Amen? And then come back and tell us the miracles that God does in using someone like us, right, to do his work. Amen? God bless.